Okay, we're off the pasuk vav. We're doing these psukim. We are learning over here. We're up to over here. Perek yud aleph. We are going to the psukim, and we're up to pasuk vav in the radak. We've gone to pasuk dalid. Perek yud aleph. Zachariah. Perek yud aleph. Pasuk dalid through pasuk zayin. We did the mitzudos. And we did the. We did the Rashi, and we did part of the Radak, and now we are continuing in the Radak in Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav says, "Kiloy echmol oid, I will no longer have compassion. Imlo yitivu maseim al yosh eretz Yisrael." Okay, Pasuk Vav says that Hashem says, "I will no longer show compassion. Imlo yitivu maseim al yosh eretz al yosh. I'll no longer show compassion upon the people of Eretz Yisrael." Biad Reu Biad Malkoi Yashkisu He Masem Bohem U Malkom Gamken Yashkisu Bohem. Each man is destructive. They're harming themselves, and likewise their king will also harm them. Heim Melech Yisrael Vehim Melech Umois Hashulit Alehem. So the Radak over here does something very interesting. He's trying to be diplomatic. Being that we learned that it's very vague, who exactly is the king? Which king are we referring to here in the pasuk when it says the king is going to cause them harm? First of all, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, as the Radak learns that this entire section is dealing with the Bayis Sheni, there were no kings. There were kings that were Nesim. I shouldn't say there were no kings. They were kings, but they did not have the full status of a din melech. They were acting in the place of a king, and you would expect that when it says in the pasuk word melech means a real bona fide king, and again the chashmonoim, I mean it was illegitimate because they were not from Shevet Yehuda, and after the chashmonoim towards the end it was Hordas. Hordas wasn't even Jewish. Okay, he was a slave, and when you had Aristobulus, there were a lot of different issues. The people that were acting in the place of leadership are not necessarily in halacha called a melech, so it's fine. They're acting in the capacity of authority, but you would expect that when it says in the pasuk the word melech is to be taken literally. And maybe the Radak is bothered by that, and the Radak says what melech here refers to both the people that are serving in leadership positions in Klal Yisrael in this era, and likewise the malchei umay so'olam, which will cause Klal Yisrael great harm. Mamtzi, mazmin, the word mamtzi we discuss a difficult word. Here he translates very precisely. Mazmin will put into. How do we translate the word mazmin? We'll prepare. It's not a really good translation. No, mazmin.
Position.
Yeah,
to summon.
Mazmin kemovi esoila him tziu elav linitzachecha. To present. Him tziu elecha, they will, the oila you will bring forth, linitzachecha, bring forth in its parts. You'll break up the carbon oila into its, you'll cut the animal into different parts. Okay, mamatzi just means to present, to put into position, to prepare, to enable. Next, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to. Hamse means
bring forth.
Very good. That's a very good example. It's a fantastic example. Hamse menucha, to bring forth menucha. So here as well. The pasuk over here says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to v'hineh anochi mamtzi es adamah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring forth man, bring forth a situation where there's going to be strife, quarreling, and difficulty. Next, v'chitisu es aretz bein zeh uvein zeh yachrisu v'yashrisu es eretz Yisrael. They're going to crush. There's going to be a shattering of the land, Chorban. V'loy atzil miyadam lefi shechatu li. I'm not going to save them. Why not? Because they've sinned to me. They've committed crimes. V'yonis and tergem re'ei etzun ha'harega. Okay, now he goes back over here to the Targum. Is nabi al par nosaya de is maniu lefar noso amo. I want you to give prophecy regarding the leaders of the Jewish people that will be appointed at this point in time. And they will rule over them like a ana lenichnasa. What does that mean? The inun, they will rule. What's the word? Kiano lenichnasa. Paskovit says esatsoin haharega, like sheep lenichnasa to slaughter. The word ana is tsoin. We had that even when we learned in the afternoon. Min habokar, min hatsoin. We had the word tsoin. The translation of the word tsoin is ana. And lenich sisa seems to mean for slaughter. They're going to rule over, give prophecy over the leaders of the Jewish people. They will rule over them, kiano, like you rule over sheep, lenich sisa for slaughter. I don't know more than that. Let's go further. Ve'ere l'chein ani ha'tsoin be'emes ani ha'tsoin mitzosim kishalachtim l'rois. Hashem says, they were pathetic. The Jewish people in a pathetic state of situation. Techila afarish. Okay, now he goes on to the next page. He's going to over here have a very long interpretation. He's going to discuss now the chayvlim, the different sticks. Okay, so he's going to get over here into this very interesting idea how he's going to tie it to the word the chayvlim. Okay, here we go. I'm now on page 819. Here's where something really interesting. Page 819. Techila. He writes afarish parish zu al das mafarshim loisa leovar. First, let me explain what this parsha means, reference to the past. Afal pi shalom matzasi le'echad mehem perush sholem b'parasha zo, afarei shani ma she'emsa b'dati be'ezra Hashem yisparach. You don't have that expression. You don't find the Radak doing that too often, telling you, I'll tell you first what the others say. I'll give you the best approach, even though none of the mafarshim give you a complete interpretation of the pasuk, and then I'll tell you my opinion. I'll then tell you how I want to understand this. So here he goes. Vo'ekach li shnei makalos derech haroya linoik tzoyne b'makal shebiyadoi. It is the custom of a shepherd to shepherd his sheep with a stick. Vo'omar ki lirois es yisro lokach shnei makalos. And the Navi says that in order, Hashem is saying, in order to shepherd klal yisro, I have two staffs. Ramaz bezeki han hagosoy oisem lohoye binyin echad rak lefi ma'aseim hoye manhigam. My hanhaga, the way I conducted myself, the way I shepherded them, depended upon their behavior. It's my hanhaga is not consistent. I'm not always so gentle. I'm not always so strict. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us is mida kineged mida. Don't expect that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to you yesterday is the way he's going to treat you today. And don't expect the way he treats you today is the way he's going to treat you tomorrow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu adapts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu adapts to the situation. Hashem is dynamic. Okay, other gods, Avodah Zarah, they can't accept this principle that there's change. Other gods, they believe that other religions is that God is consistent. If you offer him a sacrifice, he's automatically going to bestow upon you blessing. And if you don't, he will not bestow upon you blessing. So just do whatever you want, live your life, and make sure you pay your taxes. You pay your taxes, everything is going to be good. He'll give you blessing. That's not the way it works by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just because you give Hashem sacrifices, you offer sacrifice, and you give donations to the temple, it does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reciprocate. And sometimes, even if you do not offer Hashem anything, he'll be kind to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behavior to Klal Yisrael changes daily, changes even momentarily. Because this is the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is a living God. He is dynamic. It's always in flux. And it all relates to our behavior. Midah keneged midah. Therefore, that's why Hashem over here is saying, I have two maklas. L'fichach zocha shnei maklas. V'yam alecha dikarasi noyam v'lecha karasi chayvlim. La'achad shneim patochin. He's now coming to analyze the grammar of these words, as is what the Radak is well known for doing. Sheloi Shaloi bismichus. Now, when you have a patach, le'echad, le'achad, le'achad, okay, he's going on the word le'achad. The word is achad. He's focusing on, right, instead of echad, but in this pasuk it says le'achad, le'achad. In this pasuk, in this pasuk we have the word le'achad, instead of the word echad. So he said over here, when you have the word echad, echad with a segol, that connotes smichus. The word is attached to the next word.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It means one of.
Okay. La'achat shneim patochin shaloi b'smichus. Okay, but in this case, ordinarily, that's the point. Ordinarily, achad ordinarily connotes smichus, but in this case, not. This is the exception. This is some unusual grammar. Why? La'achat shneim patochin shaloi b'smichus. How could that possibly be? The ein ze keminig beroiv. That's not the ordinary rules.
A word is missing here. Le'achad mehem patiso, u'le'achad mehem patiso.
So he explains. Ela shenim sukach matin.
He's
one of. We have to insert the missing word. If Kalman is telling us, you have to insert a middle a missing word. That's what the connotation of it saying achad. And he takes note that this is unusual. He says, "Kivi einze kaminag baroyv baroyv." That's not what we ordinarily do. Ordinarily, right. It should be when you have a word and the word is not besmichus, it should be echad. Le'echad karasi noyam u'le'echad karasi chayvlim. The way you read the pasuk.
Shem echad gershon, shem echad
aliyaz. Shem echad, shem echad.
For example.
Girat Samach Kachad Shiftei Yisrael. But what was the example of Kalman go give?
The normal.
When the word Achad ordinarily means there's another word that is connected. When you are not trying to connect with Echad to the next word, then it's Echad. For example, Lechad. What you say? What was the example you gave of Kalman? What was the pasuk you just quoted? We have a word Echad Echad.
Gershon ve'Eliezer.
Gershon. So what's the pasuk?
Shem ha'echad
Gershon v'shem ho'echad Eliezer. So when you have the word, when you have names, right? In that example, when the word echad is not connected to the next word, then the proper grammar is echad. Now here, echad. Excellent. Okay, that's a great example. Shem echad. Right. Exactly. Perfect. That was a perfect example. So in this case, what should the pasuk really say? The pasuk should really say, it should say, Vo'ekach li shnei maklois le'echod. That's what it really should say. Korasi noyim u'le'echod korasi choyvlim. That's what we would expect the pasuk, how the vowels to appear in the pasuk. The Radak is taking note that in Echanami, there appears to be something wrong. And, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam Shleilim is not famous for his excellent grammar. Okay, and we have a problem here. We got a problem. So what are we going to do? What's going on? So the Radak says ve'einze kaminig baroiv. This is not acceptable. That's not the way you write a pasuk. What is Zechariah doing? What is Hashem telling, putting in Zechariah? Ela shenimtzu koch me'atim. It's very rare. Okay, let's see further what he says. V'omar. Let's explain. Let's see. Ki le'echod min hamaklois koro noyam. One, like this is what Rav Kalman is saying. What he means is le'echod min la'achad mehem la'achad mehem. It's almost as if you have to add an invisible word in order to make the grammar make sense. La'achad mehem. One of them koro. One of them I called noyam. Roitze loymar ki bini imus nohag oisam. That Hashem, he shepherded them with pleasantness. The al derech shamar David Hamelach Hashem roi. Hashem is my shepherd. Lo echsar. I lack nothing. Bin ois desha yar bitzeni. Hashem lies me down in a meadow of pleasantness. Al mei menuchas yin haleni. He leads me to waters, pleasant waters. V'zehoy b'zman shol yishol shoyim derech Hashem. Shoyim alchayhem v'shoyftehem toivim u'madricham osim derech yishara. That's when the Jewish people were behaving themselves. They were following the ways of Hashem. The oz hoya kel manik osim b'ni'imus seveim kol tov filled with all blessing. The ein satan v'ein pegara. Now that's really who said this pshat. Who said the same exact pshat? The mitzudos. The Mitzudos David did exactly this interpretation. He said that we're referring over here to the time of the Chashmonoim. We're referring here to the era. We're referring over here to the era of the era of the Chashmonaim, of the Bayesheni, and during that era there were times that were good, there were times that were not so good. During the times of Yehuda, Yehoinason, and Shimon, the three sons of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, his three children, in the era when they were in charge, when they led the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael were behaving themselves, and Hashem led them b'ne'imos. But after that generation, after the time of Hanukkah, things turned sour. And then Hashem ruled upon them with harshness. Chablam, Chavlam. So this is really what he says so far, really is the same thing so far as what it says in the Mitzvot of it. Further, Uli Achad ben Amachlis Kara Chavlam. What is the Veloshon Hashchosa, destruction? K'moy Mechablim K'ramim. We have foxes who are damaging, destroying the vineyards. And Shir Ashurim, Ratzulay Mashahem, Hishchisu Darkam, Valiloisam. The people in the later generations, they were corrupt. And after the Chashmonaim, the kings, the leaders, they backslided and they did not follow Hashem's will. Then Hashem adapted. And he led upon, he ruled them. Who nag osam alo inyan hazeh? Shlechosha shlishma osam min ha'ayv Hashem did not protect them from their enemies. Ach hayo noik osam adayin. However, there is still a silver lining. Even though Hashem did not protect them, Hashem was not nice, but he was still there for them. Hashem's divine presence was still resting amongst the Jewish people. He was tough. He was strict. He was upset. He was hurt that Klal Yisrael abandoned him, but he was still present. Completely, Hashem did not completely abandon the people until their exile. Because of this moment of time, we have kings that are not good. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Every day tomorrow will be a better future. Just because today we don't have a good king, we don't have a leader, Hashem did not choose to abandon, to completely depart, to remove his Shekhinah, because Hashem knows that there's potential, and maybe tomorrow they will appoint a leader that will be good and will return them back to serving Hashem. Now, Malachim next. V'zman shayu roim hayu ba'aleim hara v'haya sham hamakal chayvelim v'zman shayu oisim tov hayu ba'alochem hatov v'haya sham he would put sham hamakal noyam he would put upon them the makal of noyam v'ere esatzoin and Hashem says
I have another interesting here. He says le'achad karati noam and he doesn't say v'lasheni karati chovlim.
Very
and again,
good.
Each one is by itself.
It's a very important point.
Yes, true. However, the function is different. Kufot, the echad here, the echad here. That's not, they're not together, echad v'sheni. Like somebody has two sons. Harishon u'kacha v'sheni u'kach.
Each one is unique.
There's no connection between them.
Each one is unique. You're saying a very famous var from the Haggadah. Keneged arba bonim dibur Torah. So what would you expect about Haggadah to say? Echad, chacham, asheni is a rasha, hashlishi is the tam, the harivi is the she'eno yodel lishol. But that's not what it says. Echad, chacham, echad, rasha, echad, tam, echad, she'eno yodel lishol. Why? So all the parts have the same answer. Each one is my only son. Like you say,
exactly.
Different stories like this. You ask a person about a certain person, and he's my only child. He's my ben yechidi, my only child. And then later you find out, you ask about another one, he's my son, he's my only child. What do you mean he's your only child? You told me last week, yeah, this was your only child. Each one is so precious. So precious, it's ki'ilu, there's no one else. So that's why you say the keneged arba, but even the child who's the rasha, he's an echad, he's my only child. And you have to deal with him, work with him to the best, as if he was your only child. You can't give up on anyone. Even the child that's a rasha, you have to invest all of your effort to work with him as if he was your only child. Your kids, I have other children. So no, you win some and you lose some. You don't do that. No child may be left behind. This is an American policy. This something years ago people didn't really focus on this. In America, this is one of the blessings of America, that no child can be left behind, and we take from the Goyim this principle and has really affected our hashkafa in a very good way in this generation. You know the joke? You know the joke. There's a very famous joke about the word Echad also. There was once a Rebbe, and he wanted to see how his Hasidim, they noyig the Seder. And the Rebbe, he had some very good Hasidim. He had some Hasidim who were Amei Haaretz, ignoramuses, who didn't even know the Aleph Beis. So the Rebbe, before he began his Seder, he walked through the town, and he peeked in the window to see how the Hasidim are noyig the Seder. And he comes to one house, and he looks inside. He sees, a simple man who doesn't know very much, and he sees he's up to the Arba Banim, and he goes, "Kineged Arba Banim Dibur Torah," and he puts his hand on his eyes, takes off his, he goes, "Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha." He was saying the word Echad the same way he says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Echad. So the Rebbe, Groisa Amarat, such incredible ignorance. But the Rebbe, like the Bar Ditshava, the Rebbe, he froze and he said, "There's a lot of holiness in what this fellow did. That he when he works with his children, it's ki'ilu he's makabel ol malchus shamayim. That when he is involved in the chinuch of his children." He engages in this, he views this obligation to make sure his children receive a Jewish education equal to the way a person does the ultimate. He's makabel ol malchus shemayim. Before a person dies, if he is in a state of consciousness, what does he say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You're giving up, you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those words. And what is the most important thing in this world? Chinuch habanim. And the Rebbe was very impressed. He was very impressed how this chosid, who was thoroughly ignorant, how yet the nitzitz of Kedusha inside of him burst forth at this moment of the Arba Banim to view the word Echad equivalent to the way he's makabel ol malchus shemayim when he recites Kriya Shema. So, Alti boz l'chol adam. Alti buzz, you never know. Going back over here to our words, the Eres Atzoyin, we're in the middle of the Radak, Eres Atzoyin, and I shepherd the sheep, Bein Toiv, Bein Ra, Re'isim. I shepherd them. Now, this the Radak over here is very satisfying how he translates the words, Eres Atzoyin. He's coming to take these words to connect the two matos, the two maklos, that I'm the same shepherd. This is a very important point. Let's read. I shepherd them bein toiv ubein ra reisim. It doesn't matter whether my flock are behaving well or they're not behaving well. I took care of them just the same. The Yonas and Tergame apostle. Okay, before we go, let's just reflect here for a moment what we have over here. This really touches upon Kriya Shema. Every single day we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's the purpose of saying that? What is? There are many interpretations of what that pasuk means, but one of the simple interpretations is in this pasuk that we say every single day there are two names of Hashem: Hashem Yudkei Vavkei and Elokeinu. Yudkei Vavkei represents Rachamim. Yudkei Vavkei represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis. Hashem is kind to us. He forgives us. He overlooks our deficiencies, our faults, and he bestows upon us blessing. Elokeinu, Elokim is a connotation of Midas Hadin. Hashem is very tough. He's demanding. He punishes. He doesn't forgive. He doesn't suffer fools lightly. So the problem is, how can Hashem be both? In ancient times, this was a foreign concept that a God can be multidimensional. Everything in this world has to have a different God. This was the belief in the ancient people. Every single thing in this world has to have their own God. Grass has a God. Trees have its God. The moon is one God. The sun is another God. Good has a God. A day has God. Night has a different God. It can't be that one being, one God, is everything. it was foreign to them, such a concept that a God can be multidimensional. And along came Avraham Avinu, he was Makir, Hashem Elokeinu. There are days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to you. Hashem's Hanhoga appears to be Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Rachamim. And then the next day you wake up in the morning and things don't go your way. And when you look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is Elokeinu, Midas Hadin. A person can easily be misled to believe that the God from yesterday is on vacation. He went away for Pesach to Orlando. And today, who moved into town? Elokeinu. And then when you find that the God is nice to you, it means the God of Elokeinu, he's now on vacation. He went to LA. And who's back in town? Who's back in town is the Yudke Vavke is back in town. A person can easily be misled to believe that there are different gods and they have different midos. So along comes the Pasuk, and along comes Avraham Avinu, Hashem Elokeinu. Whether you have a day where Hashem relates to you with Rachamim, or whether you have a day where Hashem relates to you with Din, Echad. It's the same God. It's the same God. God is multidimensional. God changes, he adapts to what you need. A person is always in a state of flux, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow. Hashem will adapt and will present himself to you, sometimes with din, sometimes with rachamim, in order to help you grow and develop and get where you need to be. But it's only one God, it's Echad. And in essence, that's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk, according to the parish of the Malbim. And the Malbim is claiming that most Mepharshim learned the pasuk in this fashion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is reflecting that in the past, I shepherded people, my divine presence was amongst them, the Shechina was in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash, I was present, and the people were confused, because some days I was very gracious. My Hanhaga with them was in the category of Noam. And other days, my Hanhaga, my leadership, I shepherd them with very tough hand, with a tough stick, with Chovlem. But don't forget, I'm the same shepherd. That's the Vo'ere Es Hatzoin. It's a very powerful point that the Radak is making that the other commentators did not express. Vo'ere Es Hatzoin is the word Echad. When it says the word Le'echad.
Why Chovlim and not Chovel? Noam V'Chovel.
Okay, that's another point.
It's like two.
Okay.
That's like an amazing word. I don't know why.
Why is it Noam is singular? Noam is singular and Chovlim is Bloshan Rabin. Okay, also parallels, maybe, but basically what he's doing over here, the Radak, is he's basically taking this pasuk and making this pasuk into Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When it says one mata I called Noam, that's Hashem. Yudke Vavke. Ula Achad. Lachad Karasi Chovlim is Elokeinu. Elokeinu is Din. And then when it says Elokim, b'loshen rabim, Elokim b'loshen rabim, like choyvel, choyvlim, midas hadin. And then here's the beauty of the Radak. When the pasuk includes vo'erem es hatzoin, what does that mean? Hashem echad. I'm the same shepherd. Just because one day I appear to you as Noam, and the other day I appear to you in a state of choyvlim, one day it's Hashem, one day it's Elokim. The end is Vo'ere Es Hatzoin. It's the summary, it's the composite. Hashem Echad. I'm the same shepherd. Don't think there are different gods. He does that in a very beautiful way over here. Bein Toi, Bein Ra. Look at the words of the Radak. Vo'ere Es Hatzoin, Bein Toi, Bein Ra, Re'isim. I'm the same God. Okay, now he quotes the Targum. Targum, like we had this already the third time, everyone's trying to figure out exactly what Targum means. V'yodas and Tirgim, Apostokain, Umanesi, Par No Sayo, Al Amo. I appointed leaders upon the Jewish people. V'inun shalitu v'hoin ka'ono l'nich sesa. And these people, they ruled over the people like sheep l'nichsesa maskenu vital tilu yos ami. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what these words mean. Let's just leave it for the moment. For the moment, maybe we'll come back to it. V'is peligu kodamai litartein pul govon. They split into two different camps. Is peligu beis shol al de beis Yehuda, and here he explicitly says this is indeed what it said in the Rashi. Rashi and the Targum are pretty much saying the same thing. They split into two different groups, the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. Why did the split come about? Because of the Rechavam, the advice given to him by his cabinet, by his advisors. They were the Zekanim and they were the Eladim. The Zekanim told him, Rechavam, you have to be lenient. Now is the time to be Noyam. And the young advisor says, no, now is the time to be Chovlim, to be tough. And because of this disagreement, and he chose to be Chovlim, to be very, very tough, there was a rebellion, and Yerov ben Nevat took 10 of the Shvatim and split. Letarte nepul govon is peligu beis shol al de beis Yehuda. Kotsu b'malchusa. Kotsu means they detest it. They reject the Malchus, the beis David, the v'choin ra'avo, kodomai, lemeheve par nosin alami. They rejected them from my will of allow. More Hashem's rotzoin is that the Malchus of David should be the leaders. That's what my will is. The Malchus of Yisrael rejected my rotzoin, my will, that the leader of the nation should be from Yehuda, David, and they chose for themselves a leader from Shevet Ephraim, Yerovam ben Nevat, who took them down a horrible path that led to their Chorban. Okay, the precise words we need to define a little bit more, but let's leave that for now. Let's now go back and see the Malbim. Malbim, when it goes now past four, we're up to past four on these psukim. We're learning now the Malbim, starting with Pasuk Dalet. The Malbim begins on page 816. 816, the Pasuk says, wait a minute, I'm sorry, did I say the right thing? I said the wrong, of course, I'll say the wrong thing, not 816, I'm sorry. The Malbim appears, where am I reading from? Sorry, no, I'm sorry, on page 815. The Malbim appears on page 815. Koy Omar Hashem. Acharei Shehera Oisoi Churban Beis Hamikdash Hera Loi Ma Sheyavor Aleihem B'meshach Zman Sheyamoid Bayisheni. So far, everyone is saying the same thing. Everyone says exactly the same thing, that these psukim over here are discussing the era of the Bayisheni. And he says, Re'ei Esoyin Haharego Hainu Sheyisader B'nevuasoi Esaroyim Shalohem, that you shall arrange in your prophecy, the shepherd Shalohem Be'ize Oifen Yiru, how they will lead, the conduct of their leadership. And now we're going to explain why we're calling them Tzoyin Harega. Next words, Asher Kodem. So what is he doing in essence? What he's doing over here is he's following the approach of the Mitzudois David. We did this yesterday in very great detail. There's a fundamental difference amongst the commentators. The term Tzoyin Harega, is this a term which means, like the Mitzudis David says, and what the Malbim is now going to explain, that it's a metaphor for people who are not productive, people who are dysfunctional. There are different types of sheep. There are sheep that are producing fruits, sheep which are productive, are worth value, and then there comes a point in time where the sheep are no longer productive. They're nothing more than a liability. So the term Tzoyin HaHarega is a term which means animals that are no longer productive. They are a liability. And what you do with this is you dispose of them. You liquidate them. How? If you sell them, if whatever someone wants to give you $5, good, take it off my hands. If no one wants to buy it, so you send them for the slaughter. That was the approach of the Mitzudas David, and that's the approach now of the Malbim. To review, but Rashi and the Radak, Or not, take back the Radak, I forget, I think Rashi on the Radak, Rashi certainly disagrees and says, no, that's not what it means. Haha, the tzoyin here are grade A sheep. We are not discussing sheep that are not productive. We're discussing sheep that have all the potential in the world. They're young, healthy, vibrant, powerful, strong. They're wonderful. But they have been a victim of a horrific crime. Someone came along and murdered them. Who murdered them? Their leaders, their shepherds. Their shepherds are corrupt and committed the worst crime possible. And then the next pasuk goes on to describe the crime. What happened to them after they've been exactly how they have been victimized? Okay, but according to the Mitzudais, with the next pasuk, the next pasuk, we're not describing how they've been victimized, but are describing why they are. It's an elaboration of the term of Tzoyin HaRega, and that's what the Malm over here is doing. Malm over here is taking the approach of the Mitzudais David, and he's calling them the Tzoyin HaRega. Asher pasuk asher konehem yahargun mibnei. We're now coming to explain why they're called Tzoyin HaRega. Mibnei because she'enem ketzoyin ha'emdim legiza, because they no longer have value. They no longer are able to produce wool. Ulegadel vlodos, and to produce vlodos shechasim milahargam kihem oimdos lotevach v'lahariga. They're not like sheep that produce wool and vlodos, which you will never consider sending to the butcher, because they're much more valuable alive than dead. But these sheep have no value being alive, so therefore the best thing to do is send to the butcher. Al kain al yidei kach koneim yahargon, the owners, they send them to the butcher. V'lo yachshuvu zois l'chait, nothing wrong, adrab, that's what you're supposed to do. Ki heim oim dois l'kach. U'moich reihen yoyma baruch Hashem v'ashir. And those who sell them, they say, wow, my lucky day. I thought I would have to send it to the butcher and declare it as a loss, but today someone is willing to give me a couple of bucks. Ki tzoyin ha'omdos l'giza v'lovlodos yasher, tzoyin that are oimed l'giza for sharing v'lovlodos yis asher kesheheim etzloi. He becomes wealthy when they are able to produce avol ha'omdos l'tvicha yis asher be'es yimkor oisam. If they're worthless, they're not producing, the way you become rich is by selling them. V'gam ro'ehem lo yachmol l'lehem achash ha'omdos l'shchita. What has the Malbim done? He's basically translated the pasuk exactly the same way that the Mitzudas David translates the pasuk. Pasuk vav ki mefarish hanimshol ki le'echmal od al yoshu aretz v'yu yomdim lahariga. And now the next pasuk is telling us that this is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are no longer producing Paris, and therefore Hashem says, I have no choice but to liquidate them. Nachman Litzlan. V'inei onochi mamtzi yasa adam ish b'yad re'eyu shal yidei sinas chinam shoy b'nehem. Same idea. He's mamish plagiarizing the Malbim. He's taking every single word over here exactly from the Mitzvot HaStav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove his Hashkocha Pratis from Klal Yisrael, and there's going to be amongst them infighting. Sinas chinam. Bineyem, dokru ish es rehu, one man will stab another. Uviyad malkoi, and yad malkoi, shemalche beis bayesheni chorgu ba'om, the malche, the kings of the bayesheni, chorgu ba'om, they will murder them, the chilu oislam will destroy. Just to go on a side topic, I find this to be so fascinating. It is a limud musar in the laws of Lashon Hara. Okay, just go talk about sinas chinam, talk about the leaders, the different parts. We live in a city, we live in a state called New York State. Everyone know what New York State is? And New York State is divided into different parts. We have a mayor called, we have a mayor. And I don't think the firm people in this last year have been very fond of the governor of the state or very fond of the mayor of the city. It doesn't appear to me that we're very fond of them. And now the governor has groysetzaris. Okay, even Biden said it's very likely that the governor is going to be subject to criminal investigation, which is a pretty powerful statement. That criminal will go to jail. The governor will go to jail. Halavai. Okay, the governor will go to jail. I really find it just amazingly fascinating how the mayor, in such a public way, has such pleasure, and every step of the way, when the allegations come forth, he publicly, in front of the whole world, says, yeah, that's right, he's a tyrant, and he doesn't work with people, and he goes on and on in such a public way. Now, none of my business, who cares what I think? I'm no fan of the mayor. What could I tell you? I'm not a big fan of him.
Why does this surprise you?
I really believe this is a fantastic case study in the laws of Lashon Hara and Shmiras HaLashon. If you were in a Torah state, make believe, a Torah state, and the governor who is enemy number one, you have a corrupt governor who is public enemy number one, finally the law caught up with him and people are coming out of their holes and giving him what he deserves. Let me ask you, if you were the mayor, you're a mayor, is it really necessary for you to publicly relish and say all this Lashon Hara publicly about him?
Well, there's a history here.
Okay, fine. I know, good. There's always a history. In the laws of Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam, there is always a history. There's also a Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is Lashon Sage Nohar. There's a very big debate. Why is it called Sinas Chinam? The Mitzudas David says here, Sinas Chinam. Hate for no reason. Really? There's no such thing as Sinas Chinam. When you hate someone...
Well, there's no such thing as for no reason.
For no reason.
There's always a reason.
So why is Sinas Chinam called Sinas Chinam? You know the answer is? There are many answers. I have to put everyone on mute because we have some background noise. But why is it called Sinas Chinam? There are many answers, but one of the answers is it's a euphemism. It's a euphemism. Lashon Sage Nar. You hate someone for a very good reason. Because he stabbed you in the back. Because he undermined you. He insulted you. He caused you very great harm. Because there is no such thing. It's a euphemism. So why then are Chazal so tough with us? And they say, you know why there was the Chum Bayesheni? Sinas Chinam. If I'm telling you that the word Sinas Chinam is a euphemism, there's hatred for very good reason. So why are Chazal so demanding? You know what the answer is? Just because you hate someone for good reason doesn't mean you have to let it overflow and take action and let it escalate into a point where you become dysfunctional. Contain the damage. I hate him. I hate this person. Do you know what he did to me? Do you know how much Agmas Nefesh he's caused me? That's right. You have very good reason to hate him. It's not Chinam. Chinam is a euphemism. Chazal say, so what? That's right. Don't worry. The person that you hate for good reason, he'll get his day. Don't worry. Hashem runs this world. There'll be accountability at some point in time. In the meantime, it is your duty to contain the damage and disengage and just deal with the situation responsibly and don't let the situation escalate to a point where it consumes everyone and society becomes dysfunctional. The mayor is in full violation of everything that it says in Sefer Chofetz Chaim Hilchos Lashon Hara. It's amazing how there's an allegation, right? There's an allegation. First of all, when the allegations came out, it wasn't yet proven. Allegations? No, everyone can make whatever. The mayor has to offer his opinion. Yes, he's a Russia. He's a Russia. That's the way he does business. He threatens you. He's nasty. I'm not surprised. No. Woo, wow. Listen, he's a guy. Who could care less? We're not holding him to our standards. God forbid. He's who could care less? But it's an amazing case study right in front of our eyes in the laws of Hilchot Shmiras HaLashon for us that we have these situations all the time. Every single day we have people that we really don't like because they really irritate us. And then guess what? Their day comes and their allegations presented against them. They have going through a very difficult time. And then you speak among your friends. You hear what happened to so-and-so? Keep your mouth shut. None of your business. You have your own history with him. It is categorically forbidden to open your mouth and say one word that has no relevance, that has no... Well, you're voting now. They're asking you to vote to impeach him. You don't even have a vote. You're the mayor. You don't even have a vote in this matter. So what's it you just say? I hear their allegations. We'll see what happens. What do you want? What do you want from me? What's in your business? Open up your mouth. Listen, I couldn't care less. He's a guy. He can do whatever he wants. It's not our business. But it's a very great case in point to learn about what you're not supposed to do. I always tell them, if you want to learn Pirkei Avos, you know what you do? Read a Mishnah. I'll read a Mishnah. Look at Trump. Trump, his midos, 100% the opposite of every single thing that it says in Pirkei Avos. Every single thing. I guess he learns. He has to learn with his ainikla.
But Biden is feeling a kalacha. He says, I don't want to say anything. Let's see what
right,
happens.
Right, exactly. Now, the reason why Biden is saying is not because Biden isn't a tzaddikal. He's a zelba guy. It's because political reasons. He this is what his advisors told him to say.
Which is guilty of the same
it's,
or worse.
It's just everything just politics. But I'm not talking about who they are because everyone knows the whole thing is by them is just a joke. But for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is giving us mamish an illustration of Sefer Shmiras Haloshim from the Chofetz Chaim. It's just unbelievable. It's incredible to see how the violation of what it says in the laws of Lashon Hara. Now going,
by the way, Rabbi Feitman had a piece in the last Yateid on Cuomo, and it was pretty sharp.
Okay, you have to show it to me. You have to see it. So here we have. It's gone already. It'll go online. Okay, over here he's telling that during the time of the Bayis Sheni was Sinas Chinam. The Mitzudis David mentions at the time of the Bayis Sheni was Sinas Chinam, and the Sinas Chinam consumed society. What does it mean Sinas Chinam? That was Chinam? It wasn't Chinam. Study the history. There were three groups. They hated each other for good reason. It wasn't Chinam. It wasn't for nothing. There was good reason why the Klal Yisrael, different groups in Klal Yisrael, they hated each other. Each one stabbed the other in the back. They hated each for good reason. So what was the problem? The problem is, okay, you hate the other fellow. You can't sit, but don't let the hatred, that is something you can do. You can't control everything in this world. But one thing you can do is you control yourself. Don't let the hate get out of control where you become dysfunctional. There's a time just to quit and to disengage and don't go too far. That's what he writes over here with the Sinas Chinam. Daku ish esrei eyu. They stabbed one another. They let the Sinas Chinam get out of hand. They did not contain the hatred. Next, uviad malchoy shemalchei beistavet shaharugu bochem the malchei beistavet haharugu bochem v'cholu esam v'chitu esaretz. So it says over here that the Malchei Beis David Chorgu Ba'om, they became corrupt. V'chilu Esam, and destroyed them, and ate up the land. V'chidesu Esaret, Sha'al Yidei Hekitois, Sha'asoinois, Sha'amdu Os, V'al Yidei Hamalachim, Ha'achzo Riyim, Nich Tesu, V'nespardu, V'nevdu, due to the corrupt leadership of the Jewish people in the end of the Tukuv of the Bayis Sheni, they were splintered, they were shattered, and they ultimately disintegrated and were exiled. Pasuk Zayin, Vo'ere esat soin ha-harega, Sidarti eich tiyeh hari'iyah shalachem ha-hanagosam, V'hoi boifin shayut soin ha-harega. Now he's coming back to, I arranged how I would lead them, and V'hoi boifin shayut soin ha-harega, Lochain and I don't know what he means by that. Lochain and ye had sign Lochain Hoyoni had sign Bibne Shahorgu Ze Boze Blohoya Shalom Benehem. He's saying something a little bit different than we learned until now. He's saying here that Vaeres had sign Harega, I led these people who were no longer productive. There were people that were a society that was dysfunctional. And what did Elohim, therefore, and Yehatsan? This is a very difficult, these three words are very, very difficult. Each one of the commentators that we've discussed so far have struggled to translate these words. And the Malbim now is as well as struggling. What does this mean? And he says here, what it means is, Lochein, therefore, Hoyu aniye hatsoin, mibnei, shaharugu ze boze, they murdered one another, v'lohoyo shalom b'nehem. He translates the word aniye to mean they were poor, they were weak, they were feeble, because of what it says in the beginning of the previous pasuk of Adam, hinei anochi mamsi es ha'adam ish biyad re'ehu uviyad malkoi v'chitesu es ha'aretz v'loy atzil miyadam. Because I removed my divine providence from them and I allowed man to allow them to fight amongst themselves, they were reduced to nothing. They had no defense forces. They destroyed all of the food. They had enough food to last, to outlive the siege for many, many years. And they burnt the Beryonim. They were zealots. They went to an extreme where they destroyed their own food, their own storage facilities. And now what do they have left after all the fighting? Nothing. Now, they always tell people who fight, that you realize you're fighting over money. And who's going to get all when all the fighting is over, who's going to win? The lawyers. The lawyer fees are going to take up all the money. So what are you fighting for? You might as well right now just make an agreement between you, find a resolution, because if you're going to go to court, go to Beis Din, you're going to end up giving away all the money to the lawyers and to the court fees. So you might as well take the money for yourself and settle. No, it's the principle. It's worth it. It's worth to give the lawyers all the money to support them just to show who's right. The principle. So it's exactly what happened over here. They fought, and what did they have at the end of the day? Nothing. Lochein, therefore, aniye hatzoin. They were destitute. They had nothing. They gave away all their money fighting. Through the process of being mamtzi, es ha'odam, ish biyad reyehu, uviyad malkoi, the end was, they have nothing left, lochein, aniye hatzayin. Okay, so this is how the Malbim understands the pasuk. Different than what we learned yesterday. Let's go further. And now he goes on to say, the two makloys, so ekachli, I took for myself, shnei makloys, okay, two maklois. Tzia shaharoya hoyeloi shnei maklois. Echad hoye makl noyam, v'echad hoye makl choyvam. V'loi noda mi heima hamaklois. We don't know who the maklois are. The mefarshim no voichu. The mefarshim, the commentators, when they come to this pasuk, they are confused. Look at that expression that the Malbim wrote. The Malbim is saying about his predecessors. That's a pretty nasty thing to say. He's looking back at all the commentators on this page and he's saying, all of you guys, you don't know what you're talking about. All of you, Mefarshim, you're all confused as to understand the translation of this pasuk. Ulam mima sha'amar achre zeh. Vo'egda es makel noyam lechofer berisi. We have to really go back. Go further in this perek, where there's going to be more information presented. Only from that can we glean what this pasuk here means. And there it's going to say, I will cut down es makel noyam lohafer buris, to annul the covenant asher karati es kol ha'amim v'egda es makli hasheni es is ha'chayvlim. So you see over here, we're calling it the sheni. And this pasuk calls achad, achad. And later on in this parak, it calls the second makel sheni, not achad. Lohafer es ha'achva, to annul the brotherhood between Yehuda and Yisrael, mizeh noida shemakel noyam hoye in yonoy lichrois bris, to establish the bris. S, I'm turning the page, I'm turning the page now to page 818. Ha'amim, u'makel chayvlim ha'yinyana l'asum achva ben Yehuda u'ben Yisrael. Okay, so he's saying something over here very bizarre, very difficult, and he's going to explain, but just to lay out the foundation, the makel of Noam is a makel that relates to the umois ha'olam, the nations of the world. And the makel of Chovlin is a makel that relates to Klal Yisrael. Take a step back. Until now, what have we learned? According to one of the commentators, both of the makelos refers to Klal Yisrael. One refers to Yehuda, and the other refers to Yisrael. Or, we learned, both of them refer to Klal Yisrael. Hashem has a different hanhaga for us at different times. Sometimes Hashem is very, very generous, very kind. Hashem shows rachamim, and sometimes Hashem is very strict. Hashem expresses midas hadin. There are times of rachamim, and there are times of din. He's saying something very different now. He is saying that one makel refers to the umos ha'olam, and the other refers to Klal Yisrael. Now, what does this mean? And now we can understand the riddle. This pasuk is a riddle. We can now put the pieces together and decipher this cryptic pasuk. Sheritzon leimar shahoya lochem shnei mini hanhaga hapecha, the governor, oy hanosi, or the prince, which is a semi, isudu king, oy hamelech asher lo bris im ho'amim shemoshlu oz baretz. There is a king, a administrator of Eretz Yisrael, which has a relationship with the umos ha'olam, who was living in the land. Okay, let's go a little bit further. He's going to explain. Then or beis hashofet o hakohen gadol o rosh hasanhedrin shahoya inyano lehashkiach al am Yisrael sheyisachadu ben bedos uven b'mishpat vehanhaga. And then we have Jewish leadership. It seems, if I'm not mistaken, the first part, Aleph, refers to a secular authority has appointed a leader, a governor, to watch over the Jewish people. Nebuchadnezzar has appointed a governor to come into the land and to monitor what's going on. That governor is loyal to the umos ha'olam, to Nebuchadnezzar, to whoever, whatever authority, to Alexander the Great, whatever authority is the superpower of the world, and that superpower is not looking for trouble. He appoints someone to come into the land and to be its governor and to oversee what's taking place in the land and to make sure that they pay homage to the authority, the ultimate authority.
Right, there's an occupying power, in other words.
Excellent.
That's what he...
An
That's
occupying
what he's
power.
When he
Very
says,
good.
Shemoshlu oz ba'aretz.
An occupying power. Who is the occupying power? It can be either what we call over here. It's very interesting. His terms. The pecha. Pecha is always a term that's a secular term. A governor, an appointee from a secular authority. When it says hanasi, this is very, very fascinating. A nasi is a Jewish leader. A Jewish leader, which is still loyal to. Has to deal with the secular superpower. During the time of the Bayis Sheni, they were the Nesiim, the Asara Gemalchus. Who was the Nasi at the time of the Chorban Bayis Sheni? Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon was the Nasi, and Rabbi Yossi was the Kohen Gadol. So when he's calling here a Nasi, a Jewish leader, but a Jewish leader that has a relationship with the world power, the secular world power. A pecha is not Jewish. A pecha is a governor, an appointee that the secular world power has appointed to supervise what's taking place in this land. What is a melech? I don't know. A melech is another type of leader. We do have the term nasi in reference to the leaders of the Jewish people during the era of the Chorban Bayis Sheni. And then, again, the nasi at the time was Rabbi Shimon. And we know as a fact that Rabbi Shimon had to report periodically to Nebuchadnezzar. He had to answer to him. He was the authority. So Nebuchadnezzar did not appoint a secular authority. He allowed the people to choose for themselves a leader, but that leader has to express his loyalty to him. A pecha is where the secular authority doesn't trust the Jewish people to appoint a leader that will be loyal to him. So the secular authority takes one of its own people and ships him off. You are going to relocate. You're going to live in this land and you're going to supervise what's going on and you're going to report back to me. A melech is another type of leader. But then we have a situation where we're not even concerned about the Umay So'ilam. We rule over ourselves. A kohen gadol, a shofet is a term that is using in reference to a certain degree of holiness and the Sanhedrin. Hashofet a kohen gadol, a rosh Sanhedrin, shohoye in yonel hashkiach al am yisrael, sheyisachdu bein bedos, in law, in Jewish law, bein b'mishpat, v'hanhoga, v'lo yischalku l'kides v'agudes, shoynes, not to be splintered. The makel, if we would assume that the makel that stands between the Jewish people and the Umay So'ilam should be called Chovlim, they will fight with them, resist them, reject them, the Yashivu Milchama Shara, and defense will bring the war to the gate. Lachbol es oyveihem, bring the war to them. Bring the war into them. Lachbol es oyveihem, umakel zechoimed ben Yisrael v'Yehuda, yeh makel noyam. And we would expect that the makel, that is Jewish leadership, the Nasi, the Melech, I mean the Reish HaSanhedrin, and the Kohen Gadol, that will be noyam. Lanhigam b'ni'im v'svenachas v'shol v'misho, v'yomar b'gnai hadar, Shehoya behepech. Incredible chidushim the Malbim is teaching us here. It's just the opposite. Let's just read the words. We'll explain. Shamakal shoyu neged ha'amim hoyu makal noyam ki hoyu nichnoim umi shubadim el ha'amim. Yamakal shoyu lahakim ha'achva ben yishol hoyu makal chayvum lirdois bom beforech was bitter. Okay, so let's explain what we're saying. We're saying some very, very powerful stuff. There are two different types of leaders. Doesn't necessarily mean that leaders are that they're mutually exclusive. You can even have times when you have both of them working together. There is an appointee, there's a person, an appointee that is here to keep the peace between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world. And then there is an appointee whose mission is to keep the peace domestically, amongst the people themselves, Ava v'Achva v'Shalom v'Reis, amongst ourselves. So we would expect. Then we're dealing with our enemies. We're dealing with people who don't see eye to eye with us on matters of how this world operates. That makel, that leader, should be called Chovlim. But the leader that is here to keep the peace amongst us, we all agree on all the principles. We all are observant. We all are shomer Torah mitzvahs. So that leader that keeps the peace between us should be called Noyam. And from the context of the psukim that we're going to read later in this parak, Zechariah is expressing frustration, pain, that we have become so corrupt that it's just the opposite. That when our leaders tried to bring peace amongst us, that there should not be infighting, there should not be sinas chinam, or our disagreement should not reach a point where we become dysfunctional. That makel was the chovlim. That was bitter. It was bitter poison. And the leader that subdued us to follow the rules and regulations of the Umay So'ilam to behave ourselves, that was relative to the other leadership, was Noyam. He got the job done. The Jews behaved themselves. They paid their taxes. They had respect for the king, the secular authority, and they lived their lives. That was Noam. And unfortunately, because it was Noam, the Umay So'ilam were able to influence us and do things their way, which was not Hashem's Ratzon. This is the Musar of Zechariah in the understanding of the Malbim. So again, according to the Maamar, we have an incredible understanding over here that we have with these two staffs. We learned over here already three Perushim as to what these two Makalos represent. One is called Noyam and one is called Chayvlim. Either it means, one refers to the split between the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. The Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael is called Noam. Why? Because they wanted to have an easy, that they should not have to pay taxes. It should be pleasant. Whereas Yehuda is Chayvlim. Rechavim was much too tough, much too strict with the people. He was a Chayvel. And that's what led to the split. That's one interpretation. And the other interpretation was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads Klal Yisrael differently depending upon their behavior. When it's the same Klal Yisrael, today Hashem's Hanhaga is Noyam, but tomorrow, or another day it may be, Chayvlim. Sometimes Hashem rules us with Midas Hadin, sometimes Midas Harachamim. And now we come to the third shot of the Malbum. And the Malbim learns it means that there were two types of leaders. There was a leader that represented us to the Umay So'ilam. He was our liaison. A leader that was the liaison between us and that leader we would have expected to be in the category of Chayvlim in order to protect us, in order to tell the Umay So'ilam, get lost. Don't mind your own business. Don't krich where you don't belong. This is not your land. Don't come and try to occupy our land and tell us what to do. You have no business here. We would expect that makel to be the makel called Chayvlim to fend off our enemies. And yet what happened? It was Noyam. We liked, it was pleasant. We were very happy to have the Umay Salem come into our land and tell us what to do and bring into our land their contamination and all of their ugly midos. I told you when I was there, the last time I was in Eretz Yisrael, so there's in the heart of Yerushalayim, right next to the Waldorf, Mamish, right across the street from the Waldorf, there's an embassy. Now, at that point in time, I don't know what it was then, but to me, it looked like the United States embassy, because it was fortified, and there were a lot of people standing around it wearing sunglasses and wires coming out of their ears 24/7. Obviously, this looked like these American CIA protecting this, a very big facility right next door. If you wouldn't know, you would say this is the United States Embassy. I don't know what it was then. That was before they moved the embassy to Yerushalayim, but it was some big building. And when I was there, they had the gay parade. They were having in Yerushalayim this parade. This gay parade was scheduled that week. And when it actually happened, they closed off all the streets, Mamish, in the heart of Yerushalayim. They closed off all the streets to allow these Oivrei Avera to walk through the streets in pride for what they do. And mind your own business, right? But on the embassy, on this fortress, this building which was fortified by the United States of America and had all the CIA surrounding it, they put up this massive, massive banner that spread across the entire front of the building, of this facility, that we, the United States of America, join you in taking pride in witnessing you taking pride in your right to whatever, to do this aveira of v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. That's what it means. You bring into the land something which is osur, which is keneged kol ha-Torah kula, and you enjoy it. You take pride in it. You're happy. Ad kedei kach, put up a big, big banner. You invite them to come into the country, as long as you pay veritas hat the mehat deya, you come to the country, and you give us billions of dollars in foreign aid, which we so desperately need. And if the United States wants to put up a big, massive banner that says, yes, what a wonderful thing it is for you to engage in this avera that the Torah HaKadosh calls a to'eva in the heart of Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, no one's going to say boo. If our enemy would have an embassy, if the Arabs would have an enemy, a foreign nation that we have nothing, we don't get a penny from, we have nothing to do with, would come in and would, for whatever reason, have a little hut in Yerushalayim HaKodesh and would put up a poster on the wall outside that would say something that we didn't like, someone would come along and burn it down. The whole building would be burnt down in a moment. But because it's the United States, you're not going to start with the United States of America. You're not going to start up with them. And they come into Yerushalayim, and they're there, and they have this fortress. They're on their own. No one told them. No, on their own, they put up this very beautiful banner to go say, you know, to show their pride. Noyam, it's pleasant. We've invited people to come into the country, which will be the liaison between us and the Umay Sa'ilam. And unfortunately, noyam, it's pleasant. There is no discussion. There is no quarreling. Yes, whatever you like, you can do. You want to put up a beautiful banner, colorful banner, and promote this form of behavior here in the holiest place in the world that is Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. Fine. Tznoyam. Just keep on sending us the money. Everything is fine and good. But when the Kohen Gadol, the leader, the leaders of the Jewish people, the religious leaders of the Jewish people, they issue a psak halacha that you shouldn't do this because it's not correct. There are pashkevilim all over the place. Yemachshemo v'zichro, Rosh Merusha, you can go to Gehenim. You go to the Gehenim because you're telling us to go do something that the chashash achil Shabbos. Oh, so those people who are from the Gedolei Yisrael, who devoted their life to learning Torah, if they open up their mouth and someone doesn't like what they have to say, Yemach Shemo v'zichro, Choyvlim. They're called the Choyvlim. It should be just the opposite. The people who are the liaison between us and the Umos HaOlam, they are not our team. They're there because we need them, but they're not part of our team. That should be the Choyvlim. And the Gedolei Yisrael, who are on our team, they should be the Noyan. But yet the Malm over here is so amazing. The Malm over here has laser vision. He knows the human condition. He knows the human condition. And he's mamish describing the 21st century. In his words, is that we have today in leadership positions people who are the liaison between us and the Umos HaOlam, and people who just represent us, represent the different groups who are trying to bring peace, hold the peace between the different elements of Klal Yisrael, different leaders, and the treatment, the way they are respected, is the opposite of the way it should be. The leaders that are amongst us, unfortunately, very often we see are given a very difficult time. Choyvlim. Whereas the people who are the liaisons in us, Umos HaOlam, then we're very kind to, we're very tolerant of things that are not really in our best interest because we don't want to start up with them, whatever it is, and it's noyam. And the Malbum says, it's sad that this is the reality. It's really ideally be just the opposite. Okay, so we learned over here three mahalchim, we're out of time, we'll return tomorrow, we'll do the Mamare Chazal, finish up and go further. Take now a very short break, and we're going to learn over here about a couple of things about Pesach. I want to talk a little bit about Mechiras Chometz, a couple of interesting shilas, and do some other things. We'll be back in a couple of seconds.